Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This program is entitled, How to Effectively Market Your Website by Adams Hudson. Tom, we've both known Adams for a number of years. What are your thoughts about his presentation?
Bill, have you ever wished you were a little mouse in the corner of a room when a really important topic was being discussed, but you weren't invited? Well, that's kind of like what this presentation is all about. Adams is allowing us to sit in on one of his monthly coaching calls to his marketing partners. There's so much content in this presentation, our listeners will want to get really comfortable so they can take notes. This presentation is also unique in that Adams has also provided the workbook that he uses during the session. I would suggest our listeners hit the pause button and download the PDF before continuing, as there's a wealth of information on each slide that can't be totally absorbed simply by listening. Our audience can click on the box underneath the title of the presentation labeled Supplemental Information and download it.
Tom, I've listened to this program as well, and you're 100% correct. It's packed with useful marketing information on how to market your website. Adam's approach is simple. It's pull, push, and interact. If our listeners are serious about marketing, this presentation will soon become one of those classics to be reviewed over and over again. Adams is the guru of marketing within the trades industry. He is a president of Hudson Inc., a marketing firm that creates and distributes a variety of marketing information and products. His firm focuses on helping the in-home service contractor market more effectively with turnkey customer newsletters, custom copywriting, ad design, and marketing strategy. Adams has offered numerous marketing manuals for the contractors, including Marketing Power Pack Series, Competitive Intelligence, and Customer Retention Goldmine. He has also written for hundreds of magazines, made numerous national seminar appearances, and assisted contractors with thousands of ads. His specialty is direct response advertising, for which his ads have helped produce an astounding $330 million in sales for contractor clients in just 1 year. Need we say more? And now, with how to effectively market your website, here's Adams Hudson with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Hottest web traffic generation for contractors. Now, let's go ahead and face it. Let's just make this very, very clear. You know, no matter how hard you try, a website is not ever going to be able to replace the human element within service installation, management, or marketing. I mean, we've got web site galore, we've got web traffic, we've got changes in the web marketing constantly, but, you know, there's still a human element that's got to interact to both assist in the caller's request or the emailer's request and, of course, do the actual work. So today is really just the marketing side, the conduit between the web world and your inbox, or your phone, or actually doing the service or installation. Now, your website's really only job is to capture leads and send them your way. That's it. It's a 24/7 spokesperson and salesperson, but a lot of people do it poorly because if your website isn't generating leads, then it's broken. Now, this is not really your webmaster's fault. I mean, this is something that has happened to us over the last several years. The constant changes and updates in web marketing have served almost more to confuse than to clarify, though it is presented as the next salvation in marketing. Oftentimes in 6 months it's obsolete or it's irrelevant or it's just so daggum confusing nobody can really even make it operate. So the problem is a lot of contractors don't know where to begin, or they end up spending way too much money and time for too little results. And you begin a lot of initiatives. I see this happen constantly. I'll go to trade events during the year or to a national conference, and I'll hear contractors saying what they're doing now. You know, they just started some new initiative in web marketing, and honestly, 30, 60, 90 days later, it is either not off the ground or it got started, money got spent, something went haywire, it didn't work up to promise, and two bad things happened. First of all, wasted opportunity and money, and secondly, the contractor's confidence is a little shattered that maybe it wasn't a good approach or they get too hesitant on other approaches. Now, we just had the largest web training event that we've ever had. And the number one problem when we probed people for their questions, concerns to be answered at mail was by far marketing confusion for the Internet. People just don't understand it. And what they do understand, they either underdo or they don't understand how it links to the offline. So, anyway, I presume that you've got your workbook there in front of you, either the streaming version or the printed version. Either one is fine, and that's what we're going to get done today. We're going to race through this workbook. I've done your input. We're going to look at simplification of web marketing for contractors now. What is working right now? You're going to see step-by-step examples of what's working. So let's run on through it. You will see on slide two the agenda there, what's not working and what has changed in web marketing, what's working now for contractors, and then systems and processes that do drive traffic. I want you to pay particular attention to that because it will actually declutter the first three and then the results that you can copy just to give you good examples. You'll see there on slide number three, a common myth in web marketing is that people think, okay, you know, build it and they will come. That is absolutely, completely, totally, thoroughly false. It is not the case that if you build it, they will come. If you build it, you will just have it. You know, that's it. You know, it doesn't mean they're going to come. If you're going to be having a party at your house, it'd be a darn good idea to invite people first. And that's what's happening in the web world, is that you've been told or sold a bill of goods on content, 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 and people can't find it. The SEO world has gotten too sophisticated. In addition, that Google and other wonderful people now charge you for this traffic diversion, which we'll look at. It says on that quote, today's success is from targeted, sequenced campaigns. And I need to mention what that relates to, folks, and this is not a myth. If you think it's a little harder to sell today, you're right. If you think it's a little bit longer in the sales process, stretching out between the first contact and actually the closing, you're correct. If you think people are a little bit hesitant about the way that they buy now versus the way they did, say, in 07 or 08, you are correct. A lot of things have changed in the economy and in the way people market and people nowadays. They can do a search for you online. They can know as much about you online in a few minutes. And oftentimes you will lose leads that you never even get a chance at because people look up your reputation online. Or they look at your website online and they see that it looks unprofessional. Or maybe they scroll down and you're on page three and you're not about to get called. So there are many things working against you before you even get the lead. So the sequenced campaign is what is working now. And then on slide four, the web marketing challenge and changes. I do want to mention, go ahead and circle, offline and online are not separate. I mean, there's just, they have converged. There's integrated marketing, which was our main thrust behind the web video series, the training series that I just mentioned. Integrated marketing is the push. A lot of times people say, what's next? What's coming in the marketing world? I mentioned integration a little over a year ago. We had a national launch of integration about 10 months ago. So this is the coming train. Those of you who have not adopted, I mean, you don't have to do it the day I say it. I'm just telling you from the marketing side, that is the coming thing, and now it's here. So they're not separate. The budget disaster mentioned there just talks about an overinvestment in certain areas and an underinvestment in others. I have, for many of these calls, I've mentioned to all coaching members, you can get a budget calculator from us for nothing. That's just one of your benefits. So if you don't have one, email your coach, call us. We'll get you a budget calculator. It changes every single year. Things go up and down mostly. The things that have gone down most dramatically, of course, have been Yellow Pages over the last several years. Retention marketing has gone up. And, of course, web marketing has gone up, but it is now stabilizing. People are over, if you look back on that slide, the lead generation has gotten harder. It's because people overcomplicate what it is they're doing. The messages are very scattered, and I need to put a little emphasis on the message scattering. When I just mentioned integration, what do you think of? Well, you think of things combining or coming together in a more powerful way than being separate. And when you look at scattered messages, what that really means, and I just go ahead and there are going to be plenty of people on this call who are part of this, but it's really not your fault, and that's because you'll have a web initiative or maybe the same static home page. You'll have a sales manager, perhaps, who is promoting one thing. A manufacturer ad is promoting something else. Your CSR is promoting something else in the bill stuffers, and maybe at this time of year you're looking at preventive maintenance or a pre-season clean and check, or you're doing something in the plumbing world, you know, a pre-freeze guarantee, etc. All those different messages at one time are very confusing to your marketplace. It is also a myth that the wider you cast your net or the more lines in the water with differing bait, the better the haul. That is absolutely false. That had been the case many years ago, you could get away with that. Today, you cannot. The number of ad messages and impressions have gone up. People's attention span has gone down. Those two things have conspired against this multiplicity of fragmented messages. You have got to have them together. It works better. Lastly, you see on there chasing the latest new thing. Please just stop for any moment. I'll give you one goal to ask constantly of any of the web marketing that you're going to do and be doing, and you'll see this one question play out in a few slides. But you can't constantly go after the latest thing and what your neighbor says is working or what you hear about, you know, the next new thing that you've got to do. I've cautioned people about going head first into social media at its run-up about 2 years ago, saying that until there was a credible ROI or people understood how to focus that message and what has happened. Not my prediction. It's because I go to the conferences where people have to look at ROI. The Fortune 500 companies have to look at that. And fortunately, I get to sit in the audience and see what's working. Social media was not, and for the large part still is not, but I'll tell you how to make it work. It's not for lead generation. That's for absolute certainty. It is for retention, and we'll go to that later. Chaos instead of process. There are too many things going on, too many initiatives. It's confusing you. It's confusing your staff. And most importantly, it is confusing your customers to have chaos instead of process. If you look at that slide number 5, there's the old model. I won't dwell on this, but that's how it used to look. It was very direct. You just had basic media out there, including the word of mouth and vehicle marketing, but just the basic items that pointed to your inbox or your phone, and that was it. And it was very direct, and it was simple. And everyone kind of understood it. And you see in the bottom right there, we've got the website, and the advent of the website, of course, was that it was free, basically, and very fast and very efficient. You could make changes tonight, and they would instantly be on the site tomorrow. And all those fabulous things, it was a huge scalability. We, you, me, everyone was all used to paying for items in quantity or in time. So if you got 10,000 letters out, or if you got a full page of something, or if you got a minute on your radio or television, you paid according to the volume or real estate that you expressed. Well, the website threw that rule out the window. It didn't matter. One page or 50-page site, it didn't matter. One email or 10,000 emails, it didn't matter. And so a lot of the rules got disposed of. And if you'll see on the next slide, that's the new marketing model. So there you go. You wonder why you're a little bit confused. Well, that's exactly why it's a little confusing, because it's chaotic. And on slide number 6, I think it demonstrates this chaos. You know, the traditional media became more confusing. Online reviews became your word of mouth. And as mentioned before, somebody can give you a one star or a negative or a near slanderous comment before your poor technician gets back out of the truck, back at the shop. And the next thing you know, 10, 15, 20 people see that review over the next few days or couple of weeks. And it's murderous to your reputation to have that happen. You know, what we used to have to be concerned about is maybe a neighbor leans over the fence and tells somebody a negative thing, or they're asked for the next couple of weeks and they remember it vividly. But not anymore. With the online review world, your reputation can be soiled and broadly soiled. Same with social media. People can hide behind social media to say what a rotten job ABC Plumbing or Electrical did, and, you know, what a terrible company they are. And the next thing you know, this person's 1,000 or 2,000 friends or followers all know this. and all see their disappointment. Anyway, the point is, it's gotten harder for you to keep up with, harder for you to track. The rules continue to change as far as algorithms and even the local listing rules. So we understand your confusion. Okay, you can't market like you used to. And there are simplified methodologies to put in place, which is what we will start looking at now on slide 7. Hallelujah. We can make this in 3 words for you. Everything about your web marketing can be done in 3 words, and that is pull, push, and interact. That is the premise that we have been promoting and supporting for the last 2 years. It's still consistently viable right now, and it's very simple. Our marketing programs are designed around these three, and I'm not trying to sell you our programs, and many of you already have them, but the point is that this is what they were modeled on. This is the philosophy, the concept, and the basis behind which you should be doing your marketing, whether you have a program or not. It doesn't matter. But the pull is the getting of traffic. Okay, that's building your customers, your leads, and your rank. So that means pulling, drawing people to you. The push is basically the lead multiplier, which we'll look at in a moment. But the push is a promotional message or an informational message that you push to your audience to go consume something. And then the interaction is indeed, as mentioned, the social media side, which is important but plays a separate role. It is also for your retention and your referrals and your reviews, which is what those other R's stand for. But that's about your community. So you've got pull, push, and interact. So let's take a look at, and by the way, that is the order in which they should go. These calls and our coaching here is designed to simplify a very complex nature of this engineering mass that we call contractor marketing and to make it very clear for you. So that is the order, and they're all important in and of themselves. You cannot do one without the other, without suffering. They all work together. So now let's look at slide 8, the lead conversion funnel. This is a very valuable graphic. I would print this out, save it, use it as a screensaver, send it to everybody in your company, because really this is in your web marketing world. This image, this symbol is how your web marketing should work. Everybody wants you to jump to the bottom. The leads become customers. Everybody thinks that's where you should start. It is not correct, because remember, we talked about sequential marketing, the sequence. The one precedes the other. Then we're discussing this baited content at the top, which drives visitors. The visitors in that second level drives clicks, and I'll mention that yellow line in a moment. The clicks become leads, and the leads become customers. And the reason that yellow line exists is because the first two cannot really be counted as anything that you can monetize. I mean, yeah, I can get all kind of visitors to your site using all sorts of unsavory terms or all sorts of unfulfillable promises made online. You can get all kind of traffic. But traffic that doesn't result in a click to your site or an email requesting service or a phone call that says, I just read a report or saw a video or am interested in the special sent to me via email, that doesn't matter. So that yellow line is really between what's kind of hoped for. Those are pre-leads, and then the clicks that become leads, that's where you can start counting and monetizing. So that is, excuse me, I'm fighting a little bit of a cold here with the change of the seasons, but that is an extremely important graphic for you. And the most profitable question you can ask over there to the left, and I've reiterated this, and I just cannot tell you how valuable it is for you to basically memorize this question. And that long acronym is, what is the fastest way to move the most people from the top to the bottom? What is the fastest way to move the most people from the top to the bottom? And that is what you need to be asking the next SEO big promise salesperson that shows up on your telephone or at your door or in your inbox who promises the moon. You need to make sure that what it is they're selling you gets more people to the top and drives them to the bottom. If it doesn't, if it's just flowery and nebulous, you probably need to reconsider that. Same with anything to do with keyword search strings or pay-per-click advertising, Facebook advertising, banner ads. Any of these things have to be run through the filter of monetization. And yes, I sound like a hopeless capitalist, but that's kind of my job for you. If you want to do things that are only for image enhancement or branding, which is still ill-defined, but if you want to do it for that reason, if that is your purpose and you can't put an ROI next to it, that is fine. My job is to make you go in eyes wide open, understanding the ramifications. We have people oftentimes say, well, I sent out 10,000 newsletters and I only got 10 leads. Well, a newsletter is not a lead generator. That's why. Or you can post all you want to your heart's content 15 times a day on Facebook and say, well, I never got a lead. Well, that's not its purpose. So that you're not going to get a lead with that. You know, it's like expecting getting live Maine lobster at McDonald's. It's not going to happen. So you need to make sure you're focusing your purpose before, and that question will help drive you to a more profitable, more usable website. So let's take a look here now at what we call the two-step lead multiplier formula. And this is a formula that you can use. It's very simple, very easy to replicate. We have used it dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of times for contractors. And in essence, it's on slide 9 there, where you put baited content on your site. That's number one. Baited content means that it's got rich keywords, and we'll show you examples in a moment. And then that baited content, that report, links to a sales letter, and it can be a video, which we'll also look at later. But then you will send, you see this is your, the baited content is a pull. That's a magnet for people because it'll have keywords in it, which we'll show. Number two is a push. You're going to send the crafted short email with the links to that report, and then that generates SEO and conversion. You think, well, it just can't be that simple. There's no way web marketing is that simple. Well, I assure you that it is, as in the example on slide 10. This is a fine enough site. The stack heating and cooling, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it could be for a restaurant or a jeweler. It really makes very little difference here in the context of the does it work for small business. Yes, it does. We have obviously contractor examples here, which I'll share different little nuances to that. But it's just a clean site that works totally fine. You don't need to rewrite your entire website to do the two-step lead multiplier. But basically, all we ever ask of a site is where the shopper's coming from, what do they want, and how many are there? And those are the questions at the top left. Well, we installed a heat mapping software that goes atop the site that you'll see on slide 11, and that shows us exactly where the clicks are. And we do this on sites throughout the year to continue checking whether our model works, whether the concept works, and whether our pieces are working. But this is before all that. This is a clean site, and this is before all that. And this gentleman got, 31 clicks on the site. And you see they're all kind of spread out. Some came from people looking for him. Some were searches. Some were direct, et cetera. But there were 31. There were 31 actions taken to click, okay? Now, if you look on the next slide, number 12, that is the exact same site with the two-step lead multiplier applied. He went from, 31 to 126 clicks. This is the first and the second line of traffic that we saw on that funnel, and then you will see it's got under the word after, it says one email and one article, which is all it was. You see that there's a ton more clicks. In other words, top of the funnel is getting crowded, which is what you want. You want people coming in, not just tripping over it. You want them coming in. They're the leads. They're the sales, $30,000 in sales during a very slow season, et cetera. And the cool thing is you picked up a lot of leads and contact information, which is another tool that will show you visually. So this is how you do the two-step. An email goes out to your group, points people to an informative report that leads people to a sales letter. That's the sequence. And here is the email on slide number 13. Basically, and forgive that graphic atop that, let me go ahead and tell you, every single email and report, et cetera, that we show, if you have a Power Suite, you've already got that. But those of you who do not, don't worry about it. There are methodologies to crafting an email that actually gets opened. We measure every single week in specific percentages of, we do subject line tests and opening line tests and length of email tests, which time of day, which day of the week. Every bit of this is measured here. We're not just guessing at this, saying, I hope this works, give it a shot. So these 12 ways to improve your emails, if you want a copy of the hottest email marketing techniques as a coaching member, you can get it. Just request that from your coach. It's free of charge. It will help you craft an email that works like this, but you can see it's from a real person. It's got a very hot subject line. The subject line, I'm just going to focus on that briefly, is the most important part of the email. Now, obviously, once they see the subject line and open it, then your message is important. But you, if you have the world's best email and a crummy subject line, you are crippling one for the value of the other. So the subject line is really seriously important. We use about, I guess there may be 60 or 70 different subject lines in the Power Suite, but you would do well to get that report and study that. Okay, now, so that's the email that would go out. Next, slide 14, there's your baited content. This one just happens to be for heating and cooling. You can use it for plumbing, electrical, roofing, garage door, landscaping, pest control, whatever it is that you, whatever sector you're in. But basically, those underlined items on that page are the bait. And you will see the metadata that is up there in the top left that's circled, such as the title of the page, the address of the page, the subject that's on the page. All those are consistent. Those are keywords that we know people are searching for. They're searching for flooded basement. They're searching for frozen pipes. They're searching for energy savings or for panel boxes or for spotting a contractor scam. Any number of phrases that are out there that people are searching for need to be on your baited content. Whatever it is that you're promoting, that needs to be consistently and repetitively included in that page, whatever it is. If it's shock prevention, the title of the page needs to be shock prevention. Shock prevention needs to be in the subject line of the email. It needs to be in the body of this report. It needs to be mentioned in the address line and the meta tags, and it needs to be throughout the article. So that concentration of those searched for keywords has got to be in your report. I just tell you something. You're not getting lucky anymore, folks. In the Wild West days of 03 to 07-ish, we could get lucky. Things started changing 8, 9, 10, and now it's over. The luck party is officially ended. It is now a pay-to-play party, courtesy of your friends at Google who dominate. And their earnings are up, of course, as are Facebook, as are Twitter, as a result of the advertising model. That's a whole other subject. I can talk to you about that at some other time. It's a whole different topic, but the revenues have been in terms of an advertising model. So there's your baited content, and if you see building the bait, title all your data, include the keywords in the reports, and that IC is an info capture device. If you do not have an info capture device on your website, you need to punish. I had to kind of search through a list of things I was about to say. You need to punish your web person for not putting an info capture device. This is the same as having a store and having people walk in, but there's tape over your salesperson's mouth so he can't ask the question, can I help you? I mean, you're not capturing anybody's information. You don't know who they are, why they're there. I mean, this is important. So the info capture device on this page is the big circle about click here to get our money-saving newsletter. The reason we mail the newsletter is, of course, because you're doing service work at homes, not at email addresses, but at homes. Now, they can unsubscribe whenever they darn well please, but you've still got the email captured, and that's kind of all you want. Well, that's the first thing you want, and then the next thing you want, of course, is the home address. But an info capture box is critical. So the next one on 15, here's a modified two-step lead multiplier. So if you've gathered that's how the two-step works, the modified is slightly, and I mean just ever so slightly more advanced than the former. All you're doing on this one, if you look at the graphic on number 15, all you're doing, just glance over there on that right side where formerly we had the email list going straight to the report. Now it's the email list and your social group. And then the next line down, the green, where formerly we only had your on-site report and your sales letter, on-site report and sales letter, you'll see down there below it's got a video. So really all we've added here is the social side and the video. That's the modification here. And you think, well, does that integrate or is it some chaotic message? Are we adding too many layers? Yes, it integrates. No, we're not creating additional layers because the message is identical. Back to the shock prevention or the energy savings or the flooded basement issue, the social posts and the video would deal exactly with those topics, no variation, and that's what integrated marketing is becoming. It's becoming more of a consistent message delivered through a variety of media. So you're thinking, wait a minute, so that's advanced? You're calling this advanced? Well, for many people, yes, it is. It's not as complicated as whoever's trying to sell you pay-per-click or banner ads or SEO, because what they're doing is sort of behind the curtain and you're just sort of hoping that traffic magically shows up on your site and instantly converts themselves into a valid Visa card. This is way simpler than that, and it does actually work. So let's take a look. This is, once again, baited content. I don't need to go over that again. Here's one for our good friend Alan Kent. This baited content, everything underlined is bait, bait, bait. That is part of the reason it's on there. So have you heard the dark and dirty secret with the little cute kid there? So it's filled with those keyword search terms. There are at least 10 places on there where the search terms show up, and that's what you want. You keep driving this. And here's the added component on the next slide, 17, the video. There's our little video spokes dude down there. And that guy is talking about the topic that was mentioned in the email and the social post, as well as in the sales report. Some people are going to click the report. Some people are going to click the video. And that's how this message is driven home. So, and we, again, we have all these for you. I'm not telling you go out and hire a video studio. If you want to do it in your office, we've got ways to help you do it pretty cleanly. We obviously have dozens of videos. If you have your Power Suite, it's already on the website just waiting for you to use. But if you don't have that, you can create these very simply. And if you look on the next slide, number 18, you'll see that it's just make them 3 to 4 minutes long. And by the way, that video there with my ugly face on it, that is not a sample of the videos we're sending you. I'll mention why that's on there in a minute with those red numbers. But you're going to post your video to YouTube free of charge. You're going to promote your video with social media and a blog simultaneously. It's very important to get impact. And then include an image of the video in your email. That's so easy to do. We didn't have any idea how easy and simple that was, and it made a dramatic difference in our, as I mentioned, we learn as we learn. We tell you what it is that we've done right or wrong. The email you're looking at is actually an invitation to the video training series that I mentioned that had so many people come through. This particular email went out to I don't know how many thousand people, but you'll see the number of clicks were way, see, so the image of the video is actually a link. When they hover over it in the email, they can click the video image, which has a play button on it. But it doesn't just play the video. It jumps off your site, which bumps your SEO because you get more active traffic, and it goes straight to you. So they're clicking that, and you can see in our example how many more clicked on the video image than any other place on there. So it was a dramatic improvement, at least 30% and almost 200% over the normal text version. So that was very important. And I guess let me just go ahead and make a point here. We had a social media coaching call last month, and a lot of the calls were about, well, what do you say? And should you be funny? And should you be giving advice? And how often do you post? And there was a lot of questions about that. My answer was and remains 70-30. 70% of your posts socially are advice or just consumer help. 30% have a promotional link. And the promotional link within those would be that whatever the headline is or whatever the topic is or whatever the name of the video is, those are your promotional types that you're trying to sell something. You would only do that 30% because if you do that every time, you're going to tick your social group off and that's going to be the end of that party. So 70-30, 70% advice or informational, 30% of the time you've got something promotional. Never, ever, ever try to sell something on your social sites. That's the equivalent of handing out business cards at a funeral or at a cocktail party. It is just basically not cool. Unless you're just total, you know, if somebody private messages you and says, hey, I want to get in touch, I mean, go for it. But anyway, the next slide, number 19, shows where we have gotten good leads. You see Alan Kent there, my friend, 19 jobs, $120,000 of sales the first week, and I've half laughed at that because, I mean, goodness gracious, what a marketing machine, and he has followed the steps. He's a very good student of marketing as well as a fantastic contractor, but following the steps is mentioned here, and interestingly enough, you know, when there's something to be learned, Alan Kent is basically first in line, so I'm making a little example of a good student there, and then Danny Parker says, you know, focus campaign pulls $16,000 out of the trash. Basically, what he's referring to is unclosed replacement leads. These are leads that had been, quote, exhausted and sort of put aside. The salesperson had determined, for whatever reason, this is not to belittle salespeople, but, you know, for whatever reason, the fastidiousness or the stick-to-itiveness of the sales lead had waned, and the salesperson deemed them, they're not going to close, or I don't want to call them again. Well, that methodology, you know, of sending the email out to the unclosed prospects with a little special bump, a slight price advantage, a very slight one, very small because of the price increase that was coming. Danny Parker pulled $16,000 out of the trash. These are leads that we're not going to be heard from again using an email and a report, and that's pretty darn easy to do. So anyway, let's take a look at slide number 20. Slide number 20 is just another graphic kind of reinforcing the same. That just shows you that you've got an email, basically, an email plus social media, blog, etc. Those two things together then point to a video and a report. Those all added together generate leads. So as you do this, you look at that graphic and you can see the individual pieces, and that's how they add up to generate leads. The build it and you will come, they will come model is completely dead. The hoping for somebody to trip over your fancy website is dead. The so-called, and I mean with quotes around that so-called, requirement that you have to flash up your website and make it do backflips and do everything in the world in order to sell is dead. If you have a clean website with decent content on it already, what you need to do is adopt a two-step lead multiplier or a modified two-step in order to generate those leads. Exactly as you were just shown, pretty darn easy, coach. Now we're into being sociable pays off, the four R's, and I had alluded to those earlier. Number one is retention. What you're trying to do, this is in the social media, is to prove you care beyond the money. That's really the power of social media. It's not about lead generation and about liquidating their credit cards every time you post. It is about staying in touch and staying part of their world. And you can post 2 times a week at minimum. You can email touch 12 times a year at minimum and send real mail 4 times a year minimum. That's how you retain people, is by the number of touches that you can do. Those are very inexpensive and very easy to do. Second, referrals. You're not being referred if you're not top of mind. So if you look at number one and say, man, that's a lot of trouble, but then you look at number two and say, well, number two is not going to come unless I do number one, you'll see that it makes more sense. It is far more prudent to stay in touch, sometimes overtly, sometimes more subtly, but it is way more profitable to stay in touch with people, because the referral train runs out at about 30 days after previous contact. So if they're not, if you went to a restaurant last night and you loved it and you mentioned it to 3 people today, I guarantee you in 2 weeks you're mentioning it to fewer people, and 2 weeks after that, possibly none at all. Same with the movie, same with the store, same with about anything in which you had a good experience you want to relate. So that's that. Reviews. Encourage reviews. We are affiliated with, but not financially, but we're affiliated with. But regardless, ReviewBuzz.com can get you started in the review process for your online presence. And you want to encourage reviews, and you want to respond super quickly. And you want, people are always scared to death of, oh, my God, what if I get the bad review? Well, you know, what if you do? Guess what? There are people who have a bad day, they were irritated, your technician let the dog out, and that's enough reason for them to just rail on you. It's going to happen. It's also more authentic and a little bit more realistic when I see 10 4-stars in a row, and then I see the 2-star, and then I see 3 or 4 5-stars maybe on there. It's more realistic. So what? I mean, just mix it in, but respond quickly. Try to get that thing handled, and you really want it handled before it happens, which you'll see on slide number 23, the PRA, Positive Review Accumulator. We have these for the PowerSuite. We've created these for you. If you're a PowerSuite person, you've got it. I mean, but you really should have a review accumulator. And all that really is could be as simple as a form, like a happy form. We're so used to having CSRs do happy calls following the service. This would just be like a form to make sure that you did what you came to do, that the expectations were well managed from the technician to the customer to the homeowner. And basically the technician's going to just say, wrapping up every call as part of the procedure, was my work today good enough to earn your positive review? And if you can get them to just say that, you're going to keep your positive reviews high. You're going to keep the people who participate in the positive review process higher, and you're going to affront and possibly eliminate the bad reviews. Now, I had a very unsavory experience yesterday that I won't go into, that if I'd had the opportunity, and I considered it, but a manager settled my concerns. I was treated extremely rudely by a so-called customer service person, and again, not go into it, but just think of the time that you were, like, impossibly rudely treated, and that was what happened yesterday. Fortunately, the manager handled it, but if your technician is maybe coming off a little gruff, or maybe the homeowner has more questions than he, she really has the patience to answer, you know, it's got to be kept in mind that that reputation, that feel good or that feel bad, is going to linger if that person's got a computer and decides to go ahead and take some action. So if the question, was my work today good enough to earn your positive review, if that question can come out of their mouth, and the person says, well, as a matter of fact, it's not, let me just tell you, you know, you've been such and such, or I feel I was overcharged here, or I asked you to check my ceiling fan blades and you walked out of here, bang, technician goes, I am so sorry, let me get on that. Yes, you did. My mistake. I forgot. Forgive me. End of that. Positive review coming. So So I'm just telling you, the world of word of mouth has now been multiplied. It's on steroids, and it's online forever. Okay, the next, number 24, testimonial builder, same thing. People say, oh, my gosh, Mr. Technician of the Year person, you were awesome. You were on time. You were clean cut. You did what you said you'd do. You were polite, whatever the accolades, doesn't matter, whatever the accolades are. That needs to be captured for, it's like a review, but it's better because you can put it on your site. And the testimonial builder has pre-done testimonials. I would encourage you to write your own testimonials. Says the guy was on time, he was very friendly, very helpful. Another one just would say, did exactly what he said, the charges were super fair, I wish every contractor in town was like you. You just make them very general, and then you're going to have one that is optional, your own words here. Basically, all you're doing is trying to prime the pump. You're trying to get people thinking in terms of that, or if they're in a big, fat hurry, and they say, well, I don't have time to do some glowing prose, I'm clicking the one that's already on there, fine. Mission accomplished. You stump people to death when you say, could you just write me something up? Or would you put that in words? They suddenly feel like they're in eighth grade English all over again, and they're not going to do it. So put it on there. You'll have a lot of people click the pre-done testimonials. And you're thinking, Adams, that sounds so simple. We're simple. We like it to be simple for customers. We like it to be simple for you. And even though we have to go to a decent amount of headwork to get there, these are the pieces to put in place to help make it easier for you to manage and easier for the customers to comply. I assure you, if you do not ask the positive review question, and if you do not promote testimonials, two things are a certainty to happen. Number one, you're going to get more negative reviews in proportion than you deserve. Number two, you're going to get fewer positive testimonials in proportion to your customer service calls than you would without them. So there you go. Two simple things you can put in place right now to drive the ratio in your favor. So now the last one, number 25, reward your customers. I mean, if they're going to be sending you referrals, if they're going to be putting positive reviews, if they're going to be doing testimonials, thank them. It doesn't always have to be money. You can do a gift certificate. You can send them a dessert to a restaurant. You can send them movie tickets. You can send them a number of things. Fruit baskets and healthy food things have become more popular of late. Just anything. We do that at Hudson Inc. We've got what we call a Bob list. The top 50 or 100, now I can't remember, 50 or 100 customers on our list. Bob stands for bend over backwards. We send a nice little gift, and then there's a next group down and a next group down and a next group down, and, you know, the coaches get to pick certain people that they just like. It doesn't always mean about the dollar transaction value. It's just people that they like or they built a relationship with. Do this for your customers. Set aside a percent or two of your bottom line profit, however you want to calculate it, and say this is worth doing as a feel-good campaign, as a thank-you campaign, and it's worth that, and this is part of the retention, just staying in touch with and doing things nice and unexpectedly nice. Oftentimes we treat, not we, Hudson Inc., but we, the world, treats customers as a transaction, and any follow-up following the transaction sounds like too darn much trouble and effort and money, and any efforts spent on keeping that customer seems like a wasted cause because they were already a customer. And of course, my tone of voice is indicative that people are very stingy, forgive me, stingy on keeping the customer. And we've preached and taught. It just rhymed. I went preached and teached, sorry. But how we have taught on that topic a lot about retention is really just to say in the thanks, the unexpected thanks, the effort that you put forth the customer that is not all about the money. So that's good. Make them stay your customer. And now on slide 26, and we're winding up toward the top of the hour, which is amazing, that I may actually finish on time, which possibly marks the fourth time in my entire life I've ever finished something exactly on time. I'm just kidding. I'm a super professional at a seminar. Anybody who's seen me can tell you that. And now on slide number 27, apply what you've learned today. Look at that cool little blue graphic going from the bottom up. It's the message to market match. You know, you're going to be applying the message for the time of year, the message that fits basically the promotion or the information that you want to share at that time of year to a particular audience. Interestingly enough, we had a testimonial come in yesterday. This is the most astounding thing I may have ever heard, where small numbers equal to big numbers. We had encouraged a gentleman, a client. We said, please pare down your list to the best prospects for X product. And what we assumed is that he was going to pick 200 to 400 people off of a list that we had helped him pare down in email and direct mail. What he did was take it a little bit more granular, and he chose 12 people where the message 12, not 1,200, 12, a dozen, where the message matched beautifully. He sent an email and a direct mail postcard to 12 people. He got 4 calls. He closed 100% of them, doing just a touch under 20 grand in business off of 12 people. I had to reread his comment about 4 times to make sure I didn't misdo it. So the message to market match is obviously super valuable. Give them what they're looking for. The automatic content ready in advance. You know, folks, just don't be stressed out about, oh, what do I do next? Look, every month, long as God continues to put the sun in the sky and we revolve around it, every day, every week, every month, every season, you kind of know what's coming. That's the cool thing about this business. You kind of know what's coming. You kind of know what plays into that calendar part of the year, what's on people's minds. Put that, have that message ready in advance. Don't be panicking out about, oh, my gosh, it's the cold season, it's the spring season, whatever time. Just get it ready. We have the content here. It's already been done in advance, or you can do it yourself, but please don't panic. And then drive the traffic, visitor searches to convert. Remember that slide about the funnel, and go with that, looking at the most number of visitors that can turn into clicks, that turn into leads, that turn into customers. And they are basically the very last slide showing you exactly that, how all that leads into the baited articles, the sales letters and videos, the point we've made several times during this call, and how easy it is. It is a sequence. It is a pull, it is a push, and it is an interact, and that adds to your leads. Don't let this be any more confusing than people try to make it for you. Don't get bogged down in the latest, greatest, shiniest, new little plastic object that comes your way that's screaming, I need your attention or you're going to die. You're not going to die. You don't have to do every single thing that a salesperson calls you and says, man, I went to your website and the following 10 things are glaringly wrong. Ask yourself the question. Are you going to move more people from the top to the bottom? And if not, see you later. So that is basically that, except for the free stuff. There's free stuff. You got free stuff coming. We've got a roadmap to your greater online results. And just, you know, the Internet's just another media for you to use, and we've got some information here. I've got an e-book called Contractor Web Marketing Guide. That's part of your freebie here today. You just click on that in your workbook, or you can ask your coach for it. In addition, you've got the 5 steps to 7 figures. This is pretty cool. This is a semi-expanded version of the pull, push, interact, that 5 steps to 7 figures. That'll show you how we've done it for contractors here before. It's an awesome model for you to take a look at. And then full report number 2, the 21 marketing and sales tips to use now. Those are really great little tips, great little short things you can do. You can stand out in the crowd and generate leads, even in a slow season. Those are very neat.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that,
Check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Prophet University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.